the Fantasy Six-Pack Hour. With your hosts, Joe Bob and AJ Appleton.
Touchdown!
All right, welcome to the Fantasy Six-Pack Hour. My name is Joe Bond, founder of FantasySixPack.net. With me, as usual, Mr. AJ Abelgarth. What's going on, man? Mr. Clean Shaven.
What's up? Yeah, I took it all off. I had a nice, decided to take all of the remaining brown hair I had out of my mustache and beard and just left big gray mutton chops and a nice little flavor saver goatee thing going on for a couple of days.
Good stuff.
And finally
showed up to the show like that, man.
But going with the no shave November, I guess. So I took it all off Halloween night. And
all right,
we'll see what comes up after another month.
Good stuff, man. I'm repping the Scott Fish shirt, the Swedish Fish version of it. And you know, Halloween was a couple days ago, so I had to represent the candy. So
nice. I like the long sleeve actually.
That's yeah, cool. Dude, I really like it. This is going to be, my wife rolls her eyes every time I wear it, but, screw it. I'm wearing it a lot anyway. All right. So tonight we're going to be getting you all ready for week 9 of the NFL season, going through some of the news that happened this past week, trades, quarterbacks dying all around us, people getting fired. And then, of course, the main part of the show is jumping through the rankings via some start sit questions. That kind of good stuff. So, but of course, before we jump into all that, hit those subscribe buttons, the like buttons, leave those reviews, jump into the comments, talk to us, guys. We appreciate it. We enjoy talking back and responding to you all during the show, after the show, whatever it is. Enjoy it. So, and then of course, jump over to FantasySixPack.net and become an all-access member, where you're going to get access to our award-winning rankings. You're going to get access to our DFS projections, the other tools we've got there, all the DFS advice that we've got. You know, Chris Robin and Keith Fleming and Alan Sandage with the betting, and then of course the big part of it is of course the Discord, where you're going to be able to ask all of us your custom league questions. And that's where the big value is. You get to ask us everything you need to know every week for your specific team. So let's bring in our guest of the week, though. Mr. Ryan Noonan over at 4 for 4. What's going on, man?
What's up, guys?
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah. Welcome. Welcome to the show.
It had been a long time. I think I was on years ago, but excited to be back and chat with you guys. Glad to see everything's still going really well here at the Six Pack. It's sounds like an exciting time to be a part of what you guys have going on. So,
yeah, it was a long time ago. I forget where you were before 4 for 4.
Oh man, done a lot.
It was a long time ago though.
Yeah, DraftKings for a number of years.
I think that was it.
And then we had a handful of years with me and Connor still together at 4 for 4, but with Elliot Christ over at the Quant Edge. Rest in
that's
peace.
That's what it was.
TQ. Maybe, yeah, I think that's what it was. That's right. That's right. What's going on, Albert? So, yeah, man. So we're going to jump into some topics here that, you know, before we get into the meat of the show, which is, of course, the rankings talk and things like that. But, of course, We got a lead with McDaniels, I guess, finally getting fired, right? Everybody's been calling for this for a while. It's been bad over there. The offense just looks atrocious. I mean, is there any hope that with him gone, and of course, you know, we're going to talk about a little, we can talk about this one now, you know, because it'll kind of lead into the next topic. They're going to be swapping quarterbacks from Jimmy G to Aiden O'Connell. Is there any hope that this offense, you know, like the guys that we care about, right? We care about Josh Jacobs, care about Devontae Adams, we care about Jacoby Myers. Really outside of that, like, fantasy managers probably don't give a crap about anybody else. Let's be real. Maybe some Michael Meyer, but that's kind of hit or miss. Any hope that this offense can, you know, kind of be a resurgence with McDaniels finally out the door?
I mean, look, vibes. Look at the clips we're seeing today. We see this historically, right? We think pretty poorly back on the Jeff Saturday era in Indy. But they won that first game out of the gate. The instant change of, like, you know, right. They put a hoop in the locker room today, and you see Devontae's playing around, and like everyone's talking about all the good vibes. So like you probably see a short term bump of just like, hey, you know, the witch is dead. And like we saw reports out of Denver post McDaniels there, like it wasn't good. Obviously there's a long litany of previous Bill Belichick assistant coaches that try to implement that style of, I don't know if dictatorship is the word, but like just ruling with an iron fist that doesn't seem to happen really well if you don't happen to have seven rings to go along with it or six rings,
right.
Or whatever Belichick has an assistant. So it's really, really hard to get that done if you still try to do it the same way. So, I mean, in terms of like what's sticky and what happens there, probably some, up and downs with Aiden O'Connell. But like you pull Jimmy out of a Shanahan system and it went about as well as expected. I mean, happy feet, unsettled. So Aiden O'Connell's a guy that could sling it and threw it a lot in college. I wouldn't expect a massive dip. I don't think we see a bump, but I don't think we're going to see this like massive dip in like production. Hasn't been very good anyway. Hopefully they just start to play with pace and we get some more play volume and that figures itself out because they've been really slow as well. I would expect it to probably maintain where it's been, which is not very good, but maybe there's some value. Hey, if they're going to start to just pepper Devontae Adams and go, hey, look,
right.
we just need to force 10 to 12 targets this guy's way every game. That probably is going to work out pretty well for them.
That's what I was wondering. Like, I wonder if the offensive coordinator and this coaching staff is now going to be like, all right, now we're going to run a lot of routes for Devontae Adams and we're just going to force it. I saw a tweet. AJ Jason Hovel, our friend, sent me the one where it's a clip from Happy Gilmore where he's walking into the Chubb's office and he's just like, "I was right, you were wrong." It's like this is Josh McDaniels walking back into Bill Belichick's office after being fired, and I just laughed. I'm like, "Yeah, that's probably happening right now."
That'll happen, and he'll do what he did with Patricia and Judge. He won't name them an official, because if you make them an official coordinator, they don't get paid from their old job. So he allowed Patricia and Judge to not be official coordinators by name so that they could still cash checks from the Lions and the Giants. So I'm sure McDaniels will be an offensive assistant sooner than later.
That's funny.
And continue to double dip. Because look, the guys, this happened twice now. He can't make it through year two of a head coaching gig. But I mean, look, he's going to cash some checks for the next handful of years. Oh. Probably won't get another job. He'll land on his feet. He'll be okay. Yeah.
See, they're paying like $80 million a year to get to not have Gruden and McDaniels coach coach for them. That's totally nuts.
Yeah.
But let's jump into this QB carousel here, and I call it a QB carousel to be nice, but it's really the QB like graveyard at this point. We'll start with the big one, Kirk Cousins. Done for the year. Huge fantasy implications there. Obviously, Justin Jefferson hopefully coming back off IR soon. We got Jordan Addison playing very well. T.J. Hockenson, K.J. Osborne. Even the running backs, Madison and Akers, I think get affected here. They brought in Dobbs from Arizona, so a little bit of trade action here at the deadline. This first week is going to be totally blanking on his name.
Jaren Hall.
Thank you. BYU kid. But I think going forward, it's unless Hall, I think, just blows it out of the water, I think it's going to be Dobbs, right? Dobbs was serviceable, not as a fantasy quarterback, but at least like Marquise Brown had some games, you know, McBride has some games, Ertz has some games. Like, he was able to like have his weapons be okay. But what kind of, like, to me, the real question with this is not so much Dobbs or Hall, but like, what's the kind of percentage of downgrade you would put on all of the offensive weapons with Dobbs or Hall?
Yeah, it has to be something, right? I mean, like, Kurt has been a punching bag for years, but like, Cousins is slightly better than average, very effective NFL quarterback. And there are so few of them, really, to be honest, that we trust, especially in the fantasy game, you know, that back end comfortable QB one that you're okay starting week in and week out. So there has to be a dip. The bigger question is, like, is the positive reports around Justin Jefferson, are those true? Because that looks like Justin Jefferson coming back sooner than later. So like, there's going to be probably, especially with a Josh Dobbs at quarterback, probably a little less juice to squeeze out of the orange with the rest of the ancillary pieces when you have a Justin Jefferson coming back, right? It's almost like what we were just talking about with the Raiders and Aiden O'Connell. When you start to get this inexperienced quarterback that should probably feed his alpha more than anyone else, and that should be the first read, and we should just kind of trickle down from there. So the emergence of Addison, are they able to build any rapport that matters before Justin Jefferson comes back? You probably have to downgrade all of them in the short term, and probably all of them a little bit more in the near short term when Justin Jefferson comes back, right? Because there's just only so much to go around, and it was really hard for them. They, part of it early on too, there was a little bit fake, was they were throwing at such a high rate early. Some of their games got out of whack, and their raw passing percentage was out of whack. Their neutral script stuff was fairly normal, but their raw stuff was out of whack because they got into some weird game states. And I think that just kind of even made a little bit of the ancillary guys a little bit more noisy, I think, moving forward than we would want them to be. So there's a lot of things kind of working in play here. So, you know, if you get to the waiver wire, or I mean, get to the trade, if you haven't had a trade deadline yet in your league, I wouldn't mind shopping maybe some of my Minnesota pieces. You know, Hawk probably is valuable right now as he's going to be over the next couple of months. Mm-hmm. That's hard because, like, having a really safe, startable tight end in 2023 is hard to, like, part with. But that's why you'd probably be able to get something for him as well, depending on what you could find in the roster. Because, look, if you get to the back half of tight end, you're praying for a touchdown, and, you know, the rest of your league mates are as well. But, you know, if you are weak, like, and you want to bolster, yeah, right, you want to bolster somewhere else, I don't think Hawkinson's a bad guy to move because things are going to change here in a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, I'm kind of predicting like a, man, I mean, I think best case scenario is like 10% drop off, maybe 15, probably worst case scenario, like 20% drop off from these guys, as opposed to what you would have gotten from Cousins. It's just kind of my gut feeling with it. There's really no data to support it. It's just sort of like, yeah, it's not going to be good. You know, no. You're not, you know, we would have never drafted these guys where we drafted them had it been Dobbs or Hall as their quarterback. There's no way. Kirk was again, above average quarterback, but he's a machine. Like, the guy was just consistent, and, you know, you could count on him to get these guys the ball. Do you have a quick question here from Josh? Would you do this trade in a 20 team PPR? Oof. Jaren Hall and Jacoby Myers for DK Metcalf?
Yes.
My roster is Lamar, Jonathan Taylor, Aaron Jones, Tyreek Hill, Christian Kirk, Kittle, and Jacoby. How the hell do you have that roster in a 20 team PPR? I think I do this. I agree with AJ.
Yeah, I mean, right. Jaren Hall, we're talking about having 1 week as a starter, right? So
yeah,
it's not much more than Jacoby for DK, really, at the end of the day.
Yeah. So we have other starters being benched here. I wrote on Carr. I think I meant Garoppolo. I don't know why I kind of always think of them as like the same player for some weird reason. But Ritter now being benched for Taylor Heineke. That's an interesting one to me. Commanders fan, so I've seen lots of Heinicke. He's nothing special, but like, man, he can spark the hell out of some team and like, like get these guys to win some games somehow. I mean, 30-second take on what your thoughts are with, you know, Ritter versus Heinicke and what he can do for like a Drake London, a Kyle Pitts, and you know, those guys. And of course, we have to trust Arthur Smith's athlete actually use those guys. But let's just hope that that happens and play the Heinicke versus Ritter card here.
Yeah, the problem is we might not have Drake London this week, right? So we don't even doesn't even get a fair shake of, you know, really being able to unlock London, who's been really good, right? Outside of week one, he's been target share, yes, limited volume. We saw in last week, small sample, almost 2.5 yards per target more down the field. That is Heinicke. He's willing to take some shots. So probably in the short term bodes well for the tight ends. We'll see how that works this week against Minnesota. I think, you know, long-term, we can get London back. He said it himself. We know the wild stuff that we get from that coaching staff on the mic, and, the analytics were bad. You should watch the tape. And then he goes out and benches his own guy the very next day. So just classic Arthur Smith, just talking out of both sides of his mouth and just wanting to, you know, pick fights with anyone for no reason. So yeah, it's your team. You can do whatever you like. We are just keyboard warriors and analytical nerds. We have no idea what we're talking about, but sometimes I feel like you don't know what you're talking about either, but based off of how you use the talent that you have on your team.
I'll say you're right about everything you just said about, you know, us. But there is something to say when like the NFL, like analysts, like the players that used to play come out and say a lot of the same things that we're all saying. And that is unbelievable to me. Like, oh my God.
Oh no,
like,
we're right, Joe. We're right. We just, you know, it's definitely,
nobody wants to believe us.
Yeah. At a certain point, that dude just blocking anything else out and just kind of anchoring himself to his priors and saying, I'm going to, you know, fight my way out of this wet paper bag. And instead of taking any feedback, you know, kind of just digging your heels in and saying, this is what we're doing.
Yeah. AJ, you want to take the next one? There we go. I think, well, no, I can't find what I was supposed to be doing.
Sure, I can.
Stafford's
possibly out this week. Obviously, that's going to affect Kupp and Puka Nacua, who I believe is still questionable. Atwell, obviously, their running game is beat up as it is already. So they're looking at Henderson and Freeman in a committee there. What are your thoughts on Stafford being out and what that does to this offense in general?
Massive impact. I mean, this is like we were talking about a little bit with Kirk, but I think even more. Like this roster outside of, you know, the three names you mentioned basically, right, where we're dealing with Stafford, Kupp, and then, you know, Puka kind of emerging. I mean, Tutu Atwell has had a nice year. This is the worst roster in the league. Raheem Morris deserves like coach of the year consideration as defensive coordinator for making this team even competitive. I mean, it is nothing but Aaron Donald's and day three picks, some like late day two guys, all in like their first or second year. And they've been in football games partially because Matthew Stafford is an absolute dog. Cooper Kupp has been awesome since coming back. I mean, I think we had some rocky games, but he's still the dude that, you know, we lost last year. Puka's been great. This is a massive dip with Brett Rypien at the helm. We've seen the Brett Rypien show. And look, I don't think Stafford's starting this week. It's his right thumb. Yeah, it's not fractured. He can't grip the football. And I know we're not in like peak Wisconsin, frozen tundra up in Green Bay yet. It's not warm in this neck of the woods. Having that thumb injury, being able to affect how you grip the football. Look, we didn't think we were going to be without Justin Fields for a while, right? Like, oh, he's maybe questionable that week after. And here we are dealing with, Tyson Bagent for like the third straight week. So Stafford is not playing this week. I feel very confident in that. I know they're still kind of messing around with those reports. So we know what the Brett Rypien era is. I think four starts last year, two starts, four appearances or something like that. All pretty bad. Took a bunch of sacks. I think like averaged up the target like under 5 yards. Adjusted net yards per attempt like 3 and change. Nothing very good. Not a talent elevator. And that's a below average offensive line that's also injured. So I know the Packers have like disappointed defensively. Their pass rush is starting to cook a little bit. So I think it's going to be a very, very rough day. I bet the under on the team total on the Rams at 17.5. I just think it will drop once we officially get the Stafford news. So, yeah, I think I would do – I mean, it's really hard to bench a Cooper Kupp. It's really hard to bench Puka Nacua, but I would not feel good about having to put them in a roster this week.
Yeah, definitely gonna be rough with both those guys. And then we're obviously seeing, you know, this game live right now. Tennessee Steelers 13-10 right now. You know, 10 minutes ago in the third quarter. But what do we, you know, what do we think about Will Levis so far taking over from Tannehill? And I mean, to me, this is probably like the rest of the season. Like Tannehill's got noodle arm, and Levis isn't awesome. I know last game was amazing, 4 touchdowns, but I think we all knew that was sort of like, I think that shocked Atlanta kind of what he did to it and like the difference in the play calling. They were just like, oh, go deep. I mean, he's doing like fade away, like deep passes. I mean, it was crazy. He's got a cannon for an arm. That showed, but defenses were clearly going to quickly adjust to that. We're seeing that today. Tonight, but you know what's your kind of future take on how this offense is going to look with Levis at the helm instead of Tannehill?
Yeah, Levis stuff was exciting to see the touchdowns, and I think it was his to have a positive EPA with that. The rest of it was like really low, right around the line of scrimmage, a dot type stuff, and have like a negative, like below 50% success rate. You just don't see that very often. It's kind of a very unique blend of like these big splash plays down the field. I think the short-term comp is pretty straightforward and right in front of us. And it is probably again, just for the rest of this year and just from fantasy. I think it is like a poor man, Sam Howell. Howell likes to push it down the field. He has a better pass catching core than Levis has. They both are playing in front of bad offensive lines. Titans is worse, and they both love to take sacks. Will Levis took a sack on his pressure to sack rate at Kentucky last year was like 31%, astronomically high. You know, like high teens is very common. Like Mahomes is right around like 8, but he's Patrick Mahomes. So when you're taking a sack on basically a third of the time you get pressured, that's a problem. We know that's a problem for Sam Howell, but when they're kept clean, they have big arms, they have talent, they can push it down the field. Mm-hmm. So I think it's a pretty straightforward fantasy comp. Whereas, you know, we have these useful weeks from like last week, even in a bad matchup, Sam Howell can hang out, a big old fat number up there in fantasy because he can chuck it when he stays upright. So yeah, I think that's 85% Sam Howell.
Yeah, I laughed. I always like to look at Player Profiler when I look at like some of these quarterbacks and these rookies and stuff just to see what they would say. The comp was Bears quarterback
Jim McMahon.
No,
not Justin Fields.
Eric no, Green. Come on, Mike. I told you this one a couple days ago. Jay Cutler.
Cutler.
And I was like, oh man, that thinking, is spot on. Cutler loves to take sacks.
I was thinking Grossman.
Erratic up and down games, but could literally chuck the ball the entire field if you really asked him to. Like literally, like that's what he was. And I'm like, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So,
and that'd be great for Will Levis. I think Titan fans should be, I don't know if you should be like ecstatic with that, but it's not bad, right? Yeah. It's keep taking shots at the position.
Jamie's comment that we just popped back up there. The only other guys that scored 4 more touchdowns in their first starts were Mariota, also doing it for Tennessee, and Fran Tarkenton. And I actually heard this stat on my way home.
There's other guys, but they're not like relevant. Nobody knows who they are. But yeah.
No, I think those are the only two. But you can do the research on it. I don't know.
another one where it's like more, but they're like older players, but anyway.
Yeah, nobody cares about them.
Exactly.
I thought it was interesting because I heard it on the way home too on the radio, and they were saying that. And Mariota, I think, had like 2 touchdowns his next game. Tarkenton didn't have another touchdown thrown in his next like 4 games or something like that. So it was kind of crazy.
Yeah.
All right. So
I'm not going to go that far. All right. Well,
let's go ahead and jump into the
jump into our here. Start sit scenarios that our producer put together, and voice from the sky, give it to us, Maine.
All right. So since you're the guest, Ryan, you get the pleasure going first. And you get to start us off with CJ Stroud versus Tampa Bay or actual Sam Howell against the Patriots.
So I want this Sam to be Howell. I want this to be CJ Stroud so bad, but it is not. I think it's definitely Sam Howell in the spot. And part of it is just this reliance on the run as of late out of the Texans. Like, we were praising Bobby Slowick here, first year offensive coordinator for Houston the first couple weeks of the season. You know, they were playing no huddle at a high rate. They were playing with pace. I think over the first 2 or 3 weeks were like top 5 in pass rate over expectation. Loved it. You know, we were seeing CJ Stroud just kind of carve teams up, and they shifted into this really run heavy approach just massively over the last couple of weeks. And it was about last week where I thought they'd be able to, you know, kind of pick apart a Carolina team that just doesn't get a lot of pressure. They ran the ball a ton, and 3 running backs mixing in there too, makes it even harder, even worse in fantasy. So look, I mean, we talked about earlier some of the Sam Howell struggles, and they're there. But New England's beat up a little bit in the secondary still defensively. And this is a spot where I think they're going to lean heavy. I mean, they're 2nd in the league in pass rate over expectation. That's what we want in the fantasy game. It's not always pretty, but we want passing attempts. We want a guy dropping back all the time. And I just think we're going to have more dropbacks and a deeper A-dot from Sam Howell in the spot.
I guess I'm next, right?
You can go next.
I can go next. Thank you. You're going to give it to me? Yeah, I'm with Sam Howell as well. For everything Ryan said and then some, you know, just to cut it short here. I mean, yeah, you're right. I mean, like, we're all like, you know, it's bad when we're all sort of semi excited about Devin Singletary. Like, oh man, stash Devin Singletary. Yeah, that's not a good thing for CJ Stroud. No. And I mean, like, I was huge. Like, the Sunday show that we do here at Fantasy Six Pack, you know, these guys asked me about why did I like, you know, Tank Dell a little bit more and Nico Collins more than some of the other rankers. And I was like, well, this should be a smash spot for this Houston passing offense. And it didn't end up being that way. So I got burned by that one pretty bad. So,
yeah.
We'll see. I still like it, but I think Howell going to get New England. I know New England on paper like looks like a stout offense defense, but they've given up some yards. You know, like they're not as like locked down as everybody thinks. So,
yeah, I agree with that. Sam Howell made me extremely angry last week, coupled with the start of Miles Sanders, who I did not realize was getting benched basically the entire game. Yeah, that was literally a difference of 49 points in Scott Fish for me. So that was awesome.
Oof.
I still won the week, but I lost the whatever tiebreak thing against the league. So George
Pickens touchdown.
Not happy about that. That being said, I think I'm going to lean Stroud on this. I just like the matchup. I don't hate Howell's matchup. Like Joe said, I think that, you know, New England is beatable. But Stroud's been, he's been good. He's been surprising. We've said it before, so I think he can keep it up against Tampa.
Yeah. Mike, do we want to throw some of these questions on the screen, or at least get a couple in, and then we'll try to fit them in here? I know we've been answering them.
I answered one online.
I believe
in the comments. You can go with Matt.
Andrew. Yeah.
Or Andrew's the one. To Andrew. You can do Andrew too.
Should I trade Chris Godwin and McBride for Kincaid and Aaron Jones? Godwin on the bench for my team. All my running backs are on bye this week. 5-3 team. I don't love Aaron Jones, but I also think McBride's a little overhyped. Just 1 week. I don't hate it. I think it's pretty even, honestly. Like, it's if you don't need Godwin, I could dig it. I don't know. What do y'all think?
Ryan, what do you think? I answered it in the comments. Let's see what you think before I rattle mine off.
Yeah, I think I'd rather have, I mean, Aaron Jones it's been dicey. They're just too much. Bad offensive line play and too much AJ Dillon. I probably would still go that way though. I want to just sell all things Baker and Tampa Bay moving forward. So maybe there's some upside, and I like Kincaid in that situation. Having a quarterback tied to Josh Allen over McBride. So that would be, that'd be part of the tiebreaker for me.
Yeah. I basically agreed. I thought, I'd rather have somebody other than Jones, mostly because he's just questionable every week going in. Yeah. I almost don't have to remove the Q next to his name on the Fantasy Six Pack depth chart because it's just basically he's out. Although he did
throw one more up here, I think Matt has a question. Because he's 5-3, 12 team PPR, contending for the championship.
This is a dynasty, by the way.
Oh, yeah. That's right. He was talking about those earlier. Just for everybody listening, one quarterback, two running backs, two receivers, four flex. So a very deep league here. He's got Jalen Hurts, AR-15, Breece Hall, Kamara, Damian Pierce, Amon-Ra, Olave, Keenan, Ridley, Godwin, Downs, Ingram. What's the question? Sorry.
I think it's this team.
Oh, yeah. Rate the team.
Oh, right. I mean, yeah.
Out of Kamara 10.
I like it for this year. Kamara's probably going to start dipping here very, very soon. Pierce is meh. You're struggling at running back, after Breece Hall, I think, coming soon. But for this year, I think you're solid. Yeah, I like it. So,
yeah, good building blocks there.
Yeah. Yeah. And you got lots of, younger receivers as well with Amon-Ra and Olave too. Keenan Allen's a stud this year, and Ridley hopefully can build a little bit. Downs is a up and coming player as well. So I think we're good. All right, next question, Mike.
All right, Joe. You want the rookie Bryce Young against the Colts, or Gardner Minshew against the Panthers? You got no option. You got to pick in this game.
They're playing each other. give me the mustache, man. Give me Minshew. It really comes down to at this point. We thought last week this was a smash spot for Houston going against this Carolina secondary. It should be for everybody every week, and I think I know it's Minshew. He's a little bit erratic, but he's shown some flashes. He's got a good receiving core. Now Josh Downs might be out this week, so that could affect things. Check back on the rankings come Sunday when we get the news, but I still think I go Minshew. I mean, look, there was 1 week Minshew ran it in for 3 touchdowns or whatever it was. I don't expect that to happen, but we've seen Minshew just do this before. He surprises people. He's a very solid, streamable quarterback, Bryce Young is, you know, he's still figuring things out. You know, he's had a few weeks were good, a few weeks that were pretty bad. Overall, just pretty mediocre. I kind of expect that to move, you know, to be the thing going forward for him. AJ?
Man, let me get back to it. I'm sorry, I'm answering questions here.
Let Mike do that. That's what he's here for.
It is, but he thanked me for doing it, so I felt like I should keep doing it. Anyway, no,
that's I mean, I won't let him. I won't stop him.
Yeah, this is interesting because they are going against each other. I think on this one, I'm gonna go with the mustache though as well, just because I'm a fan of mustaches.
Even though you shaved yours,
my tiebreaker. Yeah, I literally shaved a handlebar out of my beard. It was hilarious.
Ryan.
Slight edge the other side. I have them next to each other, but I'm going to go with Bryce Young. And part of it is that, like, when you look at how teams typically, how they've been playing against the Panthers all season, teams run at the heaviest rates. That's probably because they have no resistance in doing so. They're also giving up the second highest rate of explosive rushes on the ground. So I just think we see some success with the Colts running game here. I love the game environment they're playing against each other. So I think they're both viable plays. You know, Colts games have been off the charts from a pace standpoint. So that helps both of them. But I like what we saw last week out of Thomas Brown, taking his, you know, first go around as the offensive coordinator. So I'm going to go with CJ Stroud here. I think we see a better second half. And I think the Colts just were able to have success on the ground here. That takes away from maybe a little bit of touchdown equity for Minshew.
All right. Let's do our first running back question, Mike.
Okie dokie, AJ. Isaiah Pacheco against Houston or Kenneth Walker against the Ravens? Who you got?
Pacheco against Miami.
Miami.
What's written.
Did I mess that up? My bad.
You swapped questions. I don't know how you did that. But that's cool.
What you did there. But it's okay. It's all right. I'll allow it to never happen again. I am going to go with Walker on this one. I mean, this is pretty easy for me, honestly. I think Baltimore is a tougher defense to rush against potentially, but Walker's a stud. Pacheco, up and down, inconsistent. Plus, they're in Frankfurt, Germany. You know, they got flights to deal with. They got a 9:30 game to deal with. Well, for us. I think Walker's the better play. Ryan?
I am always a Kenneth Walker guy, but I'm a little nervous, guys. I don't know. Like, we haven't heard anything really about what happened last week, where we just saw significantly more Zach Charbonnet than we had seen, especially on passing downs, which makes me a little bit nervous. I know Walker was a little bit dicey coming into the game from a health standpoint, but you're after like a couple of weeks at like 86-87% of the running back carries, 44% last week. You know, Charbonnet mixing in for 31. That makes me a little bit nervous, especially if you're going to start to see Charbonnet eat into a little bit of the passing game work. He handled all the long down and distance stuff, all the 2-minute stuff. He ran a route on 56% of his snaps. Like, that's a lot of involvement where all of a sudden you see a massive dip in that for Walker too, down from 61 to 28. So if he's just back like an early down thumper, and even that he's sharing a little bit with, that makes me a little bit nervous here. So in a spot where I think there's a lot of points to be scored in Germany, not really worried about other running backs there in Kansas City. And I just like the touchdown equity that we have here from Pacheco. So hard for me to really ever go off against Walker. I absolutely love his talent, but the situation is one I want to see if there's something injury-wise or if this is something sticky.
Yeah, I'm with you. I'm not like totally worried about the workload, although, you know, I agree with you. Like, I wrote about it in my uses article that I write, that, you know, I pointed out those facts that, I mean, we saw season low usage by quite a bit for Kenneth Walker. I mean, he was on the field less yeah. rushing attempts, wasn't utilized in the red zone at all, which is, I mean, he's like third in the league in red zone usage. He was like leading the league by a lot before this week. And then because he didn't get utilized at all, he dropped. Yeah, Charbonnet got an uptick of work. It was his first, this was his first week back, right, from injury.
Yeah, so part of it could have been just, hey, look, he's back. Walker can go, but he's not 100%. Let's get the kid involved. Like,
yeah,
it could be that. But I kind of want to see that it's not that, right?
Especially it also if I'm could making be a choice. Little, yeah, right. It also could be a little bit of, you know, they were going against that Browns stout defense, and so maybe they tried to change it up a little bit. I don't know. I'm kind of with you, though. Like, I kind of want to see what happens. This week, though, isn't a great matchup either. No. The Ravens are solid. So, like, maybe they're going to change it up again and figure something out. Like, I don't know. But I'm with you, though. It is, for me, Pacheco, this game, I don't care if it's in Germany or not, should be high-flying, tons of points. It's got, the highest over-under of the week of 50, I think. And it's like a 1.5 point difference in the spread. So that means both teams are projected to score a boatload of points. So gimme.
Should be. But we also just saw what Kansas City did last week. Nine times, dude. They got a point.
Mahomes was not right. Let's be real. That was not good.
And Taylor Swift was not at the game. So
big, big difference.
Just saying, is she touring in Europe right now? Is she gonna make a stop to Frankfurt?
Sure, she can afford it. She'll figure it out.
She can take a PJ, she'll be fine.
Yeah.
Do we have any more questions, or can we just move on? I've lost track.
No.
Manuel.
Yes.
We're gonna move on to the next question. Oh.
Okay. Fine. I was trying to be nice.
Or we can answer that one.
We'll get to you next, Manuel.
Yeah.
All right.
Manuel's listening from Germany, mind you.
Well,
yes. There we go.
All right. So,
come on, Mike. Today, Junior.
I'm baffled here. Because.
Oh, my gosh.
I believe in you.
Right. I was also making sure here. This we got Rashad White actually against Houston.
I'm dying.
And then we got Gus Edwards versus Seattle. Who do you want? Mm.
The answer is never Rashad White, in my opinion. So I know Gus is not 100% necessarily. You want to see how that trends, but coming off of a 3-touchdown game, just not a Rashad White guy. Don't like it. Don't really, like I said, this Bucs offense, I think, overperformed early in the year. You want to just continue to find ways to, just sell all of them moving forward. So I think Rashad White is just a guy. I think sometimes that can work in fantasy because, especially the running back position, it's so volume-based. But even that, I don't think he has the ability to do anything with. So give me the Gus Bus, actual touchdown equity on a good offense. Tougher matchup, but I like the Ravens in this spot. So Gus Bus for me.
Man, I, my rankings have Rashad White higher. Does say Gus Edwards, like the process gave me Rashad White. I mean, volume is there. Gus has been very, touchdown dependent though. So that's a little scary. I mean, he's gotten a lot of volume, but it hasn't like turned into a whole lot outside of the touchdowns ideally. But at least the other thing going Rashad White's way, right, is he is still utilized in the passing game quite a bit. Maybe not as much as we were hoping, but last week, 7 receptions, six. So it's actually trending up. So you at least got that. The rushing attack is just atrocious for the Bucs, unfortunately. And they don't, he doesn't score touchdowns. That's the thing hurting him. So I think the volume play and like kind of the safer the safer play kind of goes Rashad White's way, but like the upside because of the touchdowns that, you know, the Ravens offense can get him is Gus Edwards. So that would be my answer. Unfortunately,
full PPR, I'd go White for sure. But
half is closer. I still lean a little bit Rashad White because of the half PPR, because of the work in the passing game, but it's not easy. That's a really tough one.
Yeah.
Tiebreaker, AJ.
The other factor to keep in mind here with Rashad White truthers, if you will, is the fact that Chase Edmonds is healthy again and playing. Obviously not a whole lot there, but it is something. Sean Tucker was a healthy scratch last week, did not play, and Edmonds did. Granted, he only had 3 carries for 5 yards and 2 receptions for 16 yards. So, again, not too scary right there, but we have seen Edmonds in the past, especially in the passing game too, so maybe he starts to take away some of that Rashad White.
The other thing you got to think about, like, the Ravens every once in a while just decide it's like, oh, it's a Justice Hill week. You never know. They haven't done it in the last week, but you never know. To where there's nobody in Tampa taking away work, really.
No, I mean, that's the thing. And looking at Gus, you know, you mentioned the touchdown dependency. So that's helpful. I mean, well, obviously, 2 weeks ago he caught
one pass for 80 yards. I mean, like, you can't count on that happening.
That's not going to be there every week. So that's, you know, 9 points full PPR that just goes away from that 21 that he had.
2 for 14 last week.
So
there you go. That's more like it.
Yeah. He's not really helping you in the reception game, but he does have the rushing volume. So I think it depends on your league. I'll agree with that, but I do give Gus a slight edge.
Alrighty. Let's throw up this question here from Manuel. So it reads, really got hit by the bye week. Got to make decisions at quarterback. Howell, Heineke, Mac Jones, and it's super flex, so I guess you're picking 2 out of these guys. Howell, and it's Howell for sure.
Yeah,
whoa, I don't know. Mac Jones, because
of those guys, I would
probably say, because the Commanders, they're so bad. I guess maybe hope that Mac Jones fall into a good game.
New England's dicey. I guess. I like the spot for Logan Thomas. I mean, obviously, if this is a super flex, you want to start, you know, 2 of the quarterbacks. I get that. We might not have Curtis Samuel again, which looks likely, and he's been working mostly out of the slot, which it's where a lot of the Logan Thomas routes are getting run as well. Obviously, so I think it bodes well for him in this spot where just target tree is a little bit condensed. And he's been heavily involved, I think.
Yeah.
6-8 catches the last couple of weeks. So good target share and stuff. So, yeah, he's trending upwards. I would like him in the spot in terms of the positional players listed.
Yeah, I would take Thomas out of those positional players as well. And I think I'd go Howell, and I think I'd go Heineke. Just those, why not? Straight shot Commanders and or former Commander. I think Heineke is going to get in there and he's just going to spark this team. And maybe he just decides, screw you, Arthur Smith. I'm just going to call plays in the huddle and make us do stuff. But yeah, I also doubt that, but that would be fun. That's where I'd lean for it.
All right.
All right, so moving on to
Matt. Receivers. Matt here is I'm trying to get to some of these. I know Mike's having issues here real quick, so I'm just trying to run through some of these.
That was just a follow up on his earlier.
Yeah, this is the So he's saying he traded JSN and Sharps, and a 2025 first for Downs and Ingram
and Pierce. It looks like
and Pierce. That's kind of a lot. But I mean, for win now team, I guess go for it. All right. So I know Mike is having a little bit of technical difficulties right now, so we will run through the questions.
I'm good now.
Oh, yeah. Okay. You're back.
Yeah, that's my fault. I forgot to put myself back in the stage.
All right.
So Ryan, you get to start us off with our wide receivers. All right. And you get to start two and sit one in this one. Give you a little bit more variance. You get Puka Nacua against the Packers, T. Higgins against the Bills, or DJ Moore against the Saints. Who you sitting? Who you starting?
T. Higgins is the no-brainer, as hard as that is, because I know it hasn't been great. But Joey B. is back, and we are cooking, and it's real, and I'm okay acknowledging that it's a one-game sample, but I think we will, from this point forward, be talking about the Bengals in a post-buy sense. We'll have to split them post-buy. It's just something completely different we saw last week. So massive, massive change. Shout out to my buddy Ben Solak at The Ringer. Does a great job. Ben broke down this piece looking at the shotgun rate. So they basically, you know, Burrow was limited. He was hampered. They threw him in the shotgun 97, 98% of the snaps in the first couple of weeks and, you know, getting him to his back foot quicker. And I think that just limited what they were able to do. It was not an accident that we saw the first time Joe Mixon has averaged more than 5 yards per carry in a very long time. First play of the game, even. They run play action pass from under center. So they were just able to threaten with play action and run the football against a stout 49ers defense. So the fact that they can do that with confidence, I think, just adds a new layer to what we're going to see here. Burrow's comfortable. Higgins will come. Teams will have to adjust to, you know, what's going on with Chase Edmonds, and T. Higgins is a baller. We just haven't seen it yet. So he's the clear one. It's a tough matchup between the other two. I've kind of already, you know, talked to my anti Brett Rippon stuff. I don't want any Rams. So even in a tough spot, I think having a massive target share, I'm going to start DJ Moore there as well. And Puka would take the day off.
Right now my rankings have it being Puka and T. Now, of course, this is going to change drastically if Stafford, I think my projections right now have Stafford playing. My gut tells me it's no, but the projections say yes. So we're going to go with that right now, but I'm with you, Ryan. If Stafford's out, you sit Puka. Cups on the fringe of starting, you know, in shallower leagues, I think. You know, you're probably going to throw Cup out there just because it's Cooper Cup and hope it works. Yeah. But I think Puka can probably sit down in most scenarios. You know, he will plummet down the rankings, in my opinion. But this is a good question.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. Not much more to analyze here. If Stafford plays, I will play Puka and probably sit DJ. I think the Cincy Buffalo game is like the prime game this week because of the non-game that happened last year with Hamlin and his injury. So I think this is an important game to both of these teams. They both want to come out and just get at it. So I think Higgins is going to be a big part of that offense in that game. He's a definite start. It just depends on who's starting on the other two.
All right, Joe.
My guy, Gabe Davis. Next question.
Gabe Davis at Cincinnati against the Bengals. Jordan Addison at versus Atlanta, or Jacoby Myers at the New York Giants. Who you sitting? Who you starting?
I mean, I have them 30, 31, and 32.
Well, then you should know the answer.
I literally don't care who you start and who you sit. But, I mean, right now it's Addison as the odd man out. You want to, you know, you it's weird to say, like, the Giants have been pretty stingy in defense. Like, that's the one thing kind of keeping them in games right now, because their offense is so bad. So, you know, that's the one thing going for them, especially the last couple of games. Now, they haven't played a lot of great teams. You know, they played the Jets, you know, but they did shut down this Commanders offense that, you know, we're all sort of kind of touting. So, but I don't know, with Hall there as quarterback, I think I'm just deathly afraid of relying on that. You know, we've seen Aiden O'Connell, and not great, but at least he's got a game under his belt. And sure, Gabe Davis with Josh Allen over those two, why not? Hope he doesn't just fall into the black hole of Gabe Davis being Gabe Davis after having 12 targets last week.
This is just terrible.
I know, right? These guys are all bam, bam, bam. Read my rankings.
I mean, like, Addison, you can have the argument because of blanking on the guy's name now. Terrell, the D-back for Atlanta.
Yeah, AJ Terrell.
AJ Terrell, thank you. Should know that, seeing as his name is AJ. Yeah. But, like, do you want to take that chance over Jacoby Myers having a shitty quarterback? Oh, wait, Addison has a shitty quarterback too, and Gabe Davis does not. So I guess out of all of these, I'm definitely playing Gabe Davis, and I think I might just sit the other two.
I think we had a game. We might have had a Gabe Davis
start too.
Sit one. I know it is. No, I will flipping have an empty script. Roster spot.
Flipping the script.
We might have actually had a role change for Gabe Davis though, because what we saw last week was a little bit different, which was encouraging. Where it was some like schemes layups to him versus, you know, the, you know, deep down the field stuff. You know, his ADOT was significantly shorter. His first read targets were up. They used him in kind of a bunch, almost like the, you know, Dawson Knox role a little bit, where they had him bunched up with Kincaid a bit. So, yeah, I think Gabe Davis is interesting moving forward in that game environment that we obviously – talked about earlier that we like quite a bit. So we think he's a definite. I have him comfortably ahead of the other two, who I have back-to-back in my ranking. So really splitting hairs, you know, inexperienced quarterbacks, you know, maybe a slightly better scoring environment for Jordan Addison, but it's tough. Mostly maybe also because we're going to see a ton of Devontae. So maybe Addison.
You know, I mean, we saw like a very high number of passing attempts from Keenan Allen or Josh Allen. Josh Allen last week too. All the passing, all the receivers for Buffalo last week saw an enormous amount of targets. It was pretty crazy. You know, Gabe Davis saw 12, Stephon Diggs saw 12. And then, you know, you add in Kincaid, he saw 7. It's like, I mean, if that's going to continue, that's awesome. But I mean, Gabe Davis does not usually see 12 targets. So I need to see it again before I believe it. But right now he's ahead of those two. I agree. So.
All right. Before we move on to our next question, I do see this comment. Forza wants to know, Demario Douglas or Tank Dell this week, full point PPR? Take it away, Joe.
I'm going Tank Dell. I know they're playing the Commanders, but I'm not trusting Mac Jones over Tank Dell and CJ Stroud yet.
For me, I do like Douglas. You know, Juju has been a non-factor in that offense. Bourne is on the IR now. And then you also have Noah Brown, who's stepped up pretty big in Houston, has been getting targets and actually playing well. Tank stood up, you know, excuse me, when Brown was out. So it'll be interesting to see how the target share goes with, you know, both of them healthy. I personally like Douglas.
Don't worry. Jamie's always auditing me just to make sure that I'm right. checks me out on Fantasy Pros there. So, all right. Ryan, you got a quick answer to this one? Or
I like both these guys. DeMario Douglas, like, no Devontae Parker either, concussed. He might be out of the mix here. Mm-hmm. And look, you know, Pop Douglas was playing ahead of Juju and playing primarily out of the slot. So they were scheming stuff for him in that Miami game. His ADOT was significantly lower, but they were force feeding him touches, which is encouraging to see. Now, that's kind of how Tank Dell's been used as well. I think he had 3 carries last week. So they're trying to get the ball in his hand. So I have them really, really close. I have Dell a little bit ahead of him, but I'm very, very, very interested in Pop Douglas this week.
All right. Next receiver question.
And it doesn't get better. I'm sorry, guys. These are guys that people are actually going to be considering this week. AJ, Marquise Brown against the Browns. Michael Thomas versus the Bears. Or Rashee Rice in that great game over in Germany against Miami.
I mean, this one's pretty easy for me. I'm going to go Brown against the Browns because he's familiar with them. I think Thomas...
Joe's face for people who can't see was hilarious right there.
What? Are you saying that only because his last name is Brown?
No, because he's played against them when he was with Buffalo, Baltimore. He's familiar with that team.
Sure, Clayton too, kind of, I guess.
I don't know.
Let's go for it.
Why not? Why not?
New DC.
I mean, again, this is one where I'd rather just start one and then pick somebody else. Michael Thomas.
Who's on your bench?
would be the start. The absolute start, although he's questionable as of earlier today. Rice is just too inconsistent for me. I get that it's going to be potentially high scoring, according to you. I don't know. I just don't care much for Rice, even though he's got hopefully non-flu-like symptom Mahomes thrown to him. So I'll go Brown and Thomas.
I have them right next to each other, Joe, in my rankings, the 38, 39, and 40. Rashee Rice, Marquise Brown, and Michael Thomas. So no real strong stances, but I guess Rice is the winner here. Again, I don't think we're ever see him get to a spot where he's running 80% of the routes, but if he could be pretty efficient on the 60 that he's going to get, 65 maybe, in a spot where we expect a lot of points, like we said earlier, I would go Rashee Rice.
Yeah, so my two are Thomas and Brown. Again, they're all super close, kind of coin flip here. It's more just, there's just so much spreading of the ball around in Kansas City. And so he's just hard to rely on. It's weird. He's actually been the most reliable and most consistent receiver in Kansas City, but it still hasn't really meant a whole lot.
Yeah.
So give me Brown and give me Thomas.
All right. Well, like I said, it doesn't get any better because now we're on to the tight ends. All right. So, Ryan, you get to finish us off here. And I apologize in advance for this question because it's not fun. But do you want Trey McBride coming off that hot game against the Browns? Or would you rather start Taysom Hill against the Bears?
Man, let's see where I have him. Oh God, you guys, these are good questions. We did a good job here. They are also right next. They're neck and neck in my rankings as well. I have Taysom Hill at 12 and I have Trey McBride at 13. Taysom gets involved in lots of different ways. And I feel like that's as unstable as that is. It feels more stable than Trey McBride attached to Clayton Tune in his debut against a Browns defense on the road. So, I will go with Taysom Hill, who could very easily have, you know, two carries inside the five in this game, and feel really good about, you know, that being the bettable edge in terms of where we want to kind of win here.
Yeah, I mean,
Joe hates me for this question.
I do. I told you I was just gonna hang up my hat and leave. The rankings and the projections all say McBride, but I'm kind of with you, Ryan. Man, throw in Hill and see what happens.
See what happens.
Yep. McBride is, unless it's like magically Kyler Murray, which I don't expect. I think they're using Taysom Hill a lot more than I thought they would. Like last week, I dropped Taysom Hill in my rankings pretty far with Juwan Johnson coming back, and then they were like, "Nope, we're still using Taysom Hill right. in all these stupid ways that all you fantasy managers hate." And he scored a touchdown, and I'm like, "Come on, get out of here!" Feels like this is going to be the thing the rest of the year. We're all just going to have to like hope it doesn't happen for Kamara and Olave and Michael Thomas's sake, but it's going to. So he's now back into back end tight end one territory every single week.
Hey, we love fantasy football. Don't you forget it.
Most of the time.
AJ, what do you like?
This is easy for me because the Browns are the best team defense against opposing tight ends. They've given up a whopping 53 yards on 11 receptions if you take out the game that Mark Andrews had.
But they haven't played anybody else besides Mark Andrews. Come on, Irv Smith, Pat Freiermuth with his atrocious Kittle. Steelers.
Chiginkonkwo, where was he?
Where's he been on the year? That's the question. Arm
Tannehill throwing in the ball.
Either way, correct. They haven't played anybody, but they're still not playing anybody in Trey McBride in Arizona. So I don't know why all of a sudden San he Fran, would
that was one of those like they decided not to utilize Kittle game. That was
it's because they were losing.
So that was that weird like
stupid.
That was that weird game where the 49ers just decided they forgot how to play offense.
So that the game against Andrews is the only game that meant anything, and when he went 5 for 80 and 2 TDs, and they have not given up any touchdowns or even 80 yards combined. So I'm going with Hill. He'll be involved. He's going to get the ball somewhere, somehow, and probably find the end zone at least once. So
I never thought we'd have a clean sweep with Hill right there, but we just had one.
Yeah, we did. The one thing I will say, right, is that you're saying the Browns, right, are awesome against tight ends. And I know I picked Hill too, but just to kind of play devil's advocate here, the Ravens are also phenomenal against tight ends. And they just had Trey McBride just embarrass them last week. So it could happen, but that was with Dobbs. They're going to probably have Tune. So
a lot of it was garbage time too. So I feel like, you know, up a couple scores.
Yeah. I was in a matchup where I was going against McBride, and I was like, you know, 5 minutes left. I was like, oh, I was up by like 10. I'm like, I'm good. Watching it just like click down to like 3.5 points. And I'm like, what is happening?
Yeah, he ate late. He ate big time.
Yeah. So, but I mean, look, I mean, it could happen again. But that's probably going to be a pretty low scoring block.
He's the only tight end to score a touchdown on Baltimore's defense, but
yeah,
they've given up more yards and more receptions. So, meh.
All right.
And played a lot of similar teams.
Let's close it out here. Let's have some fun. Silly string picks. So, Ryan, I know you're new to this. What we do is we pick a flex player that we like for this week to either go over or under. We use half point PPR projections. Before we do that, though, I know I lost last week. Unfortunately, I did not get to buy any silly string this week to have my kids spray me. Video will be coming out on Twitter, I promise you. Jamie also lost. I will be showing that video here live. And then Howard Bender for Fantasy Alarm also lost. So hopefully we can get him to share his video as well. But we do have Jamie's video, so let me share that one at least, and see if I can find it on my computer. I have so many windows open, I've lost where it is. So yeah, I should have thought about that before I did this. Sorry about that.
It's already brought up on the screen.
I know it. I see it on here, but I can't find Twitter. Hide it? No. I just can't find Twitter on my computer. There it is. All right. So we're gonna share this.
I'm here for my fantasy six pack silly string punishment for the second week in a row. My man Roshan disappointed me this week, letting Darrington Evans steal his touchdown. I'll always be a Roshan truther and his number one fan, but this is happening because of you.
Silly string to himself.
Do better, son. No. Don't let me down again.
Oh, good stuff. Good stuff, Jamie. Appreciate you, man, for jumping in and having some fun with us. So let's give our picks this week. Ryan, got your guy lined up.
So be flex, or you know, in like the range of you know, wide receiver rankings, like you're in the 30s, 40s or so.
It doesn't really matter.
Just basically
the guy that I think is in
some of the people know.
Okay. Just someone you think that's going to smash their projection, basically. Wide receiver, running back, tight end.
Okay. This is, I was going to go, well, maybe I'll go a little bit lower still because, right, I still like the ability to thrash their fantasy points. I was going to talk about DeMario Douglas, I'll be honest. I thought DeMario Douglas would be an interesting, kind of already talked about him, but I do like him quite a bit. But I'm going to go with Jahan Dotson. I think Jahan Dotson finally starts to show a little bit about what we've been looking for. Touched on it again briefly earlier when we were talking about Logan Thomas having a nice day. We saw a spike in work for Jahan Dotson last week, and I think we see a little bit of that continue here against New England. I think they're going to throw a lot. I think they've been throwing a lot no matter who they've been playing in the spot. I think they're going to as well. You know, we saw 19% target share in week 7 for Dotson, 18 in week 2. You know, again, the A dot is pretty consistent where we have the ability to make some plays. You know, that's transitioned into 8-9 targets last 2 weeks after barely getting targeted much at all for the first couple of games. So I like him in the spot, especially again, if he can work in the slot, more of those easy layup looks. Was a really prolific touchdown scorer, both at Penn State and then last year as well, even though he's not a big bodied guy. I think he's a really good inside the red zone guy. So I think that's why last year he like doubled Terry McLaurin's end zone target share. It's not an accident. So Jahan Dotson this week exceeds expectations. Do we need a number? Do you want my projection?
You have an over half PPR.
Half PPR projection is 7.9.
Okay.
What do you guys have? I can take your number too. We're probably
close. What do we have here? I can try to pull it up. I don't have our projections up right this second. I do.
Took mine down, I think.
It was 7.7. So
okay,
I'll take yours, maybe a little harder.
Yeah, I'll take 7.9.
0.2 extra points.
Yeah,
probably be fine. If he hit 7.7, he's probably hitting 7.9. So AJ, you got yours or you want me to go?
You just talked about him, DeMario Douglas. That's who I picked early on in the show. I just think that, it's an up and down game of interest with Washington, but we've got him at 8.56 points, half PPR. I think Douglas goes over that this week.
Yep, I'm at 8.6, so we're right there. But I like it to go over as well. It's a good call.
Yeah. All right,
Joe. All right. I am going Nico Collins over 10.7. half PPR points against Tampa Bay. I know last week was a bit of a disappointment with him, but I mean, we're talking like this guy's been the wide receiver one for this team, all, you know, the majority of the year, right? I mean, like, you know, we had a couple weeks where we're like, oh, it's Tank Dell. Like, no, it was still Nico Collins. Like, target share was him. Tank Dell just had those big plays. Nico's, you know, wide receiver 13 on the year, seeing a pretty massive target share there. So, you know, I like him against this Tampa Bay secondary that, you know, is allowing the ninth most points to receivers this season. So give me some Nico Collins action. If Waz is watching, hashtag Team Nico Collins, man, you know what's up. Mike, all right, this guy, who you picking, man?
All right, you took an alpha. I'm gonna take an alpha's alpha, and I'm gonna go CeeDee Lamb in the first matchup against the Eagles. He's projected 14.24 points, and you bet your ass he's gonna get the over. These Eagles defense have allowed 38.54 points in half PPR to wide receivers. And I know Brandon Cooks has come on a little bit lately, you know, getting the touchdowns. That's nice. But only about four targets a game, when it is clearly CeeDee Lamb and CeeDee Lamb alone in this offense. Even Tony Pollard is struggling. So give me that over, and please don't let me get silly string.
All right. And I think we've got a Jamie Parag prediction here. He says he'll take the over on Rashid Shaheed. And right now we've got him projected for 7.1 points there. So, yeah, that's a solid one as well. So, all right, yeah, if you want in on the action, I'll be tweeting these out tomorrow morning. Make sure that Lamb, not a flex player. Can I get – oh, when we mean by flex player, we mean like any offensive player, non-quarterback, sorry. So you don't have to pick some like, you know, like actual fantasy flex. So, yeah,
you can play a ballsy if you want to go over.
You want Amari Cooper, Jamie. You can make the swap. Just let me know. You're not locked in. You can let me know later. But anyway, we do have a couple questions. Ryan, if you want to bounce, or I think we got a couple questions here at the very, very end. If you want to stick around and answer them, if you got to bounce, you got to bounce.
Sure. Yeah. I got dad duty, but I can wait another minute.
Yeah. 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 So I think, we got one here from
Dion.
Carr, Howell, or Mayfield. No trust in Watson. I'm Howell this week.
Yep.
Yeah, I think that's. I think we already kind of talked about that one a little bit. I think we got this other one here, a couple down. Mike, you want to throw that one up?
It's not really a question.
QB Dak, Kyler, running backs, Kyron, Breece, JT, Javonte, and Stevenson. Receivers are CeeDee Lamb, Cup, Marquise Brown. I traded Kyron, Kyler, Marquise for Amon-Ra. How did I do?
I think I gave up a little bit too much based on potential production when everybody's healthy. But we don't know what we're getting out of Kyler.
Yeah.
Kyron's been good, but, you know, as Ryan said earlier, that offense is not great. So,
and you got scary running back depth there. You know, Javonte's coming on, JT's coming back on, you know, coming on. Hopefully the
Dax had his bye. Right. Yeah. So like, yeah, you can split hairs with Kyler and Dak, but at the end of the day, do you want to make that decision? Amon-Ra's
a top 10 receiver, so it's fine with me. I like it. I think we had another one. Oh, he had another one. Pick a flex, Chuba or Stevenson, full PPR.
It's not great. This week I like Chuba.
Let me see close what I have
for
here.
Me, but I think I've got
is that because you're salty too about Miles Sanders getting we think benched?
Yep. Totally.
I mean, he did basically.
Yeah, if there's a reason he got benched.
It's I mean, fair enough. I wanted to be Stevenson so bad. I mean, and of course the Commanders just traded their two best defensive front players. So, I mean, maybe you see if that it works for him. And the worry I have with Chuba is like that was Sanders' first game back, so maybe they were just kind of like slow playing him back in, but that wasn't a good sign. They were already kind of like they were already starting to like before he got injured, like seeing more of a 50-50 split, if not more in Chuba's favor before he got injured. And then you see that on his first game back, like that's bad. So
coincided with a coaching change too, which is also problematic if you're Miles Sanders. So
I'm still Stevenson slightly, but I don't feel good about it. That's not an easy one, man. What's up, guys? Dylan here. Rest of the season, which side do y'all prefer? Jalen Hurts, Olave, or Burrow and Puka? To me, it's Hurts and Olave.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. I know Puka Nacua had this, you know, amazing start and Burrow's coming on strong, but Hurts is still, you know, fantasy wise, probably going to be better than Burrow long term. And I know Olave's been struggling, not doing what we hoped, but it looks like Puka's kind of going in the other direction. Like teams have figured him out. So
a lot of the underlying stuff for Olave is fine. You know, I think.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just not connecting for some weird reason. So,
Joe, before the next question, though, Connor did want to take part in the silly string picks.
Oh, so, all right.
He'll take the over on Kincaid. So you can give him our projection if it's lower than Fantasy Pros, you know, however you want to play it. You're the boss.
All right. I will look. Kincaid here. Let's look.
And then the next question is up whenever you want.
All right. So Kincaid's actually at 8.3.
Should I trade Najee Harris and Chris Godwin for Josh Jacobs? Half PPR, both Najee and Godwin are consistently on his bench, and he has enough receiver depth that losing Godwin's not a big hit. Lots of people have a lot of depth with Godwin as well. So for me, I'm okay doing this trade if you're not really using Najee or Godwin and you have other depth. You know, Jacobs is still a stud running back. It's a dysfunctional team, but we'll see what happens now that the reins have changed. So I think I'm pulling for Jacobs to turn things around.
Yeah, I would do the trade.
Yeah, I'm with it too. I mean, look, Godwin being the depth piece doesn't totally surprise me. He was being drafted super late and people were drafting receivers heavy. I know. So, you know, it's weird because Harris is actually like somewhat decent in this game. So
Jamie wants to know what you have Amari Cooper projected at. Oh no.
10.9.
The cart is coming out for Treylon Burks.
Yeah, he went down hard.
That sucks. It is 10.9, Jamie. So do we have any more? Dylan, maybe.
Yep.
Made another move. Traded Ford, Goddard, and Diggs for ETN, Hockenson, and Devonta Smith. Ford, ETN, that's a big upgrade. Goddard to Hawk, that might be tricky.
Upgrade.
Diggs to
potentially
Devonta.
That's the downgrade.
Bit of a down.
I like it.
I'm sort of on the fence with it now. I know, like, so he's saying now he gets a pair ETN with CMC. That's awesome. His receiver depth is now Devonta Smith, Ayuk, Waddle, Flowers, and Shaheed. Yeah, I think you were able to take the downgrade from Diggs to Smith. Is the Goddard to Hockenson, as weird as it sounds, actually might be a bit of a like. Even trade now. without Kirk, but who knows, maybe you know, whoever steps in just really likes to utilize tight ends and Hawk won't lose a lot of value.
The biggest dip here could be ETN to Ford.
I think traded Ford to get ETN.
Yeah, that's why it's kind of, I think, an okay piece for you there. So I know that right now, statistically, the gap between Diggs and Devontae Smith is greater than what I stated, but I think that that could close.
Close. I think it will over
the rest of the season. There's no way Devontae Smith produces as little as he has.
Yeah.
You know, outside of week one and week eight. So. All right, I think that is it. All right, Jamie, we'll lock you in, and we'll get that tweet out tomorrow morning. But Ryan, thank you for coming on, man. I know we went a little late, but let everybody know where they can find you and what you got going on the rest of the season, man.
Yeah, I appreciate it, guys. It was a good time. Over on 4 for 4, mostly spend my time in the betting streets there. Run our betting product. We have a Move the Line is our betting podcast, game by game on Wednesday, props every Friday over on 4 for 4. You can find the YouTube channel at 4for4bets. Excited about just continuing to grind tackles. I don't spend a ton of time on the offensive side of the ball. I love to bet on defensive props. It is my passion of mine that is just kind of came out of accident last year, and you know, still obviously dabble on the offensive side, the good side here with you know, fantasy and stuff. I mean, I love getting my hand deep in the dirt and predicting tackles, because it's the group pasture is wide open. No one comes over to the side of the ball, so we're just exploiting an edge and making some money for subscribers along the way. So appreciate you guys having me on.
Absolutely, man.
Thank you for coming on, and it was a great time. I'll do it again soon.
Yeah, right. Absolutely. Thanks, guys.
Thanks, friend.
Alrighty. I think we had a Deontay Johnson touchdown just a few minutes ago.
You want to hear something nuts? That was his first regular season receiving touchdown since week 17 to 2021. 668 days.
He had some crazy long.
Sounds about right.
It happened to me. I play him this week. Awesome.
sounds about 400 some plus days of. Without a touchdown? Yeah, I saw something. I saw
668.
That. Oh, man. I was way off.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. He didn't even score last year. Duh. Connor, you have him at 9.1. The site has been 8.3. I don't know if you're looking at full PPR, but we're using half. So we'll do the half at 8.3. You're going over? Over with Dalton Kincaid. Okay.
Yeah.
So we'll lock you in there. That's cool, man. We got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Hopefully we'll get a couple more on Twitter. We'll get some Dave Eddie action as well. Hopefully he loses. I'm not rooting against him at all.
We need to see him get silly stringed.
Absolutely. That would be fantastic. All right, guys. Thank you for joining us tonight. Again, hit that subscribe button. Hit those like buttons. Hit that little bell. So you get notified when we're coming on air with all the great content we have here on our YouTube channel at Fantasy Six Pack. And of course, become a member, fantasysixpack.net/plans. And that's it for the show. Good luck this week of week 9. Have a good night.
See you.